Welcome back into the Horseshoe Lounge at Roosters. It is a fun casual joint, and it feels like we've gone back in time. There's snowflakes falling, it's chilly outside, and it's like a winter because Ohio State doesn't have a full coaching staff anymore. That's Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Bob, how much would it take for you to go to Michigan? Everybody has a price.
Do we know what the price was? Is,
yeah, I mean,
$850,000
for 3 years. Well, it was really $850,000 plus $50,000 for two more years. So more or less a cool $2 million. I mean, the guy's been here for 9 years, Tony Alford. His kids went to school here. It felt like he was trying to leave. Like, and I like Tony a lot on a personal level.
He's been in the mix for jobs every single offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. Every conversation about him will be prefaced by saying, I like him a lot on a personal level.
Everyone 100%. Yeah. I think everybody really liked him. I thought he did a great job with the running backs room. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that Dallin Hayden was still here after like not getting a ton of run, I think is a testament to the relationship that they have. How much would it take for me to go coach at Michigan? Probably more than $1 million. Yeah. I mean, that's there in Office Space. They talked more about what $1 million can do for you. I don't know if that's really getting it done for me. I would take more. It would take enough money. It would take a multi-year deal of multiple millions, probably. Now, granted, I'm not in the coaching profession. If that was like the only job I had, and it was either that or, you know,
homelessness.
Doing something maybe Bob Saget talked about, you know, trying to feed my family. I mean, I would probably take that job, but right now I would have to be multiple millions over multiple years to the point where I could justify when people said they hate you, like, hey, let me buy your affection. Can I buy your affection back? Yeah. Let me buy it. You know what, Justin? How could you do that, Bob? Hey, you know what, Justin? Let's go get something to drink. Hey, you want me to take you to dinner? Anything you want on me. Roosters, you get the whole menu.
The whole menu.
You bring in Ella. You're
making
have the,
so much money now.
Have the girls, have the girls have their party. And here's the thing. I would go into that knowing you'd be like, hey, 3 year deal for however many million dollars. And at the end of it, I'm done. I've like taken the blood money, my 40 pieces of silver.
This is my retirement. I just sold the company and I'm out.
Obviously, it's a little different. You're a guy who's born and raised in Ohio, grew up here, played at Ohio State. Now, Tony is not that guy. I mean, he played at Colorado State.
Which is the first strike against him there.
It's not like his legacy is, in his mind, is tied to Ohio State. So, I think from his perspective, it's easier to understand. But, like, you would be selling your soul in that instance. I don't believe that he is in his case. But it still doesn't make it interesting, right? Or makes it interesting because, as we've talked about all throughout the last week, he had opportunities this offseason from USC, from Miami, from Notre Dame. Like, if you really just wanted to go,
there's other places.
That's you could have gone. Strange. I think that's what makes it so odd.
My 100%. Thing, the two things is it's timing and team. If he would have left right after the season for this, like, I kind of, you know, squint your nose at it. Like, it doesn't really smell great. All right. If he would have left now to go to USC, but you're a week into spring ball. But the fact that it's in concert, this team, after this week of spring ball, during spring break, by the way, it had a real Lannister send their regards feeling, like on Ryan Day's birthday is when this thing drops out. You know, like, hey, happy birthday, by the way, I'm out of here.
Here's my letter of resignation.
Especially because USC hired their running backs coach 3 weeks ago. So it was not a situation where they filled it in January. They hired the guy from TCU in mid-February. So the opportunity was there. I think that's where ultimately, like...
Is he waiting for Ryan's birthday?
I mean...
Now we've got
that's
there.
What I said on Snap Judgments on Wednesday when this broke. Like, you don't want to think it was personal, but like, it's hard not to look at it.
It smells a little personal at the end of this because it said, I wish the guy the best. I like him.
As guys that played here, you know, did you ever have a coach that did something like that? that you're like, whoa, dude, like, of all the places, like, I mean, is there anything remotely close?
Everybody we had leave was going to a, you know, a head coaching gig or, you know, somewhere small, like climbing the ladder, which is when I saw this thinking, oh, maybe they're going to give him some offense coordinator role or something along those lines, which I could understand. All right, hey, I'm getting to move up.
Yeah, but I'm going to go title, get like, a run game coordinator feels.
Then there's that. Yes. So that was not the case.
Stan Drayton left to go to Texas.
He went to the NFL. He went to the NFL. Bears.
That's right. And then went to Texas. Yeah. And even Stan, like, when I talked to him about that, I think that was more of a personality thing. Like, he was happy to be here and then maybe unhappy to be here later, depending on how the coaching dynamic is.
Not everyone gets along with Urban Meyer for very
long. What? You can put a finer pen
the on day that I saw Stan Drayton, and the fact that when Urban had gotten here, and Stan's an Ohio guy. He was from Cleveland, so he was super pumped to be back to be a Buckeye.
And it was just like, here's your...
And he had just left. I was like, oh, you know, he's like, yeah, I came here for...
To escape.
Yes.
Put a pin on it. He had been with him at Florida. He got to Ohio State in 2011.
Just like,
And then, oh, here comes my old boss. Cool.
Getting back together.
Yeah. So he didn't love that. But there's also why. Maybe it's a possibility that he wants to return to Ohio State now that Urban's not here.
Well, Temple might not be going all that great over there. It's, as Chip Kelly can tell you, it's hard to win at places that don't really care about winning now. You used to be able to kind of conjure some illusions and spirits, and you could make things look better than what they were, to be able to get to a point like, all right, I've built this, boom, and then I can leave after three or four because I got really lucky. I got a quarterback that only I saw. But now it's like, hey.
Now it's get paid and hope you don't get fired by the time it runs out.
Well, because the reality is, like, even if you find all those guys that are really good and you build a culture, they're just going to get picked over and get poached, and you don't have any avenue to, like, hey, I can go get other guys and solve those problems. So,
and the level of, like, want to win at UCLA is here and Temple's, like, here. So it's even a much...
It's kind of like Moneyball. I mean, you've got, like, the Yankees, the Red Sox, then everybody else, then 50 yards of crap, then us.
And Temple's not really going to be able to find the inefficiencies in the market. Because once they do, they won't be locked into a contract.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you get them, and then it's like, hey, found this guy. He's great after two years. Boom. Penn State got him, or whoever. Like, just pick your school that's like, yeah, that guy's good. We're going to take him now.
So how's this going to work, Bob?
Cuckolding is a big deal now.
You know, there's no shame in anyone's game, however you want to live.
I mean, there's some shame in that game, right? It's a little bit. I think that's the appeal of it.
Okay. All right. Well said, Berm. Good point. I stand corrected on that. How is this going to look? Like, Ohio State, they've interviewed and been in contact with multiple running backs coaches, but they don't just have somebody snapping your fingers and popping
in for
Snappy Jays on a Tuesday for practice number three. How do you get through this short of position coach, Bob? I'm confused. How is this going to work?
That's the thing. Like, I've never seen this. I mean.
Well, the good thing is you have two older guys in the room. Now, one is new, and he's going to be learning and trying to figure things out.
And Trey's learning, too. There's new stuff.
Running back, but he's been here. I mean, you have two studs back there who know how to take a handoff and find a hole.
See ball, run ball?
Yes.
Grab ball, run. Like, that's not running. Don't get tackled. Hard.
So, I think if we were going to lose somebody or a position coach at a time like we did, I think the running back room is probably...
Your dad was a running back. Okay. I mean, he's an Ohio guy. He's a coach. You know, interest.
Bring him on up. Bring him out of retirement.
You'd be leading the group tomorrow. That's why I asked.
Well, he's 69 years old. Rob, I think he's more concerned about hanging out with my kids and,
Ohio guy, NFL running back.
There was a time where I believe he was offered that job a long time ago. But that's been 30 plus years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ohio guy. I thought of him waking up early. He wakes up early to listen to the Morning Juice now, and that's sit in the hot tub and hang out.
Because he knows he can get his joints warmed up ready on the podcast later in the day.
I know, but the idea of going and communicate, he likes young people. He probably wouldn't be terrible. He's just 60. He'll be 69 this year, so I don't think there's any desire to do
spring
that.
Spring chicken compared to Larry Johnson.
That is true.
According to people out there.
But he hasn't been in the game for a while. Yep. What if I post?
So we're taking Rob Carpenter off the. We're taking him off the list.
He's off the board.
Who replaces him at the top?
What if I pose you this theory?
I'm listening.
So Ross Bjork just hired Jake Diebler.
He did.
Full time men's basketball coach, 6-2.
Announcement today.
That's going to come through. They're actually a full pep rally and everything. Like, fans can go.
I think it's kind of cool.
Which it's kind of scary because if you're going to welcome in the general public, you have no idea what their agenda and who could be in there.
Especially with the game tomorrow night in the same building.
That's what I'm saying. Who knows?
At least it's before the game.
But, so he's basically done with that. Like, the men's basketball coach search over. He's got it done. I think Ross actually played fullback in Kansas at a small school. Maybe he goes a full Jackie Just Moon awesome. And puts himself yes. in there.
Let's hey, Ryan. Everybody I, love everybody.
I got a guy Let's for go. You. And that guy,
and guy is me. Is
me. Let's go. We're going to save us a couple shekels here. I won't even require
I'm gonna a pay raise. I'm going to take half of what we would have given the new guy.
Half of that. We can put the rest of the NIL in the room. We'll call it a day.
You know what's funny is when you were like, I have a theory. I was like expecting it to be something that was actually.
Yeah, well.
Somewhat.
Okay.
I thought maybe he's going to be.
Did Ross Bjork play Dick, running Dick back Trestle in college? Back.
It is a theory.
Yeah. Ross Bjork played running theory. Back okay. in college.
On the list of probabilities, your father being the running backs coach is significantly higher than Ross Bjork. And I is was it? Obviously.
I mean,
I was obviously asking that tongue in cheek. So now we've gone from your dad to Ross Bjork.
Come on.
I still think Bob is going to be secretly leading the drills tomorrow.
It is an interesting week for the Buckeyes because I would expect, and we talked about it on the podcast earlier this morning, but Ryan Day is not going to hurry into this decision, but he also has to kind of move with urgency
be
here.
Quick a little bit.
And like, I think it needs to be done by the end of this week. You need to know
quick,
who
but
that
don't
is.
Hurry.
Yeah. It's one of my coaches say, quick, but be quick, but not in a hurry. Like, we don't want to hastily rush to judgment, but
what does haste do?
Haste makes waste.
It makes waste.
We don't want to do that. But, you know, you've got Gillespie out there floating around. Eddie George, I guess, is off the table. Justin said Maurice was involved. He wants to get in. He put the open announcement out there.
Mm-hmm.
Pebby Pearson, who's down there, threw that out there. And these are just guys. Outside of Gillespie, it's a lot of Ohio guys.
I don't believe that any of those
DeMarco
Ohio
Murray,
guys
though,
are
I didn't think he would come,
candidates.
But they said he actually applied to Michigan. Now, he's an Oklahoma guy. That would be interesting. I know Demo a little bit. I mean, I didn't play with him.
He's
but.
Making like 5.25 at Oklahoma. Ohio State obviously could probably give
well,
him
offer 50, Tony 8.
A 50% raise.
Yeah.
And if you have a desire to move up in the big picture of life in this position, the idea would be Brett Venables will be there for a while, right?
So, well, I mean, and how good are they going to be next year?
And thing. So you get to go work with Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. Like, that's a good way to, you know, tie yourself to a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make it even more weird that he left, though? You have this rocket ship
no, that's,
that he was
that,
already
to
tied
me,
to.
That, to me, is the hard part. Like you,
and then you,
you
go to a place that is going
to this
go
room,
the other direction.
That is going the other direction. Who knows what's going to even
Anybody,
happen? This, are they going to be able to play next? I mean, yes,
you've
they
worked your whole career to get this room that you have right
it's
now.
It's just mind-blowing.
In a chance, in a roster that is primed for a national championship run, like that is the hard part to understand. Where you're like, professionally, like the things that motivate you as a professional, like everything you've worked for is this year. And then you just walk away from it. That is hard to swallow, I think. And I think that's why Buckeyes fans, no, they're going to be pissed off no matter what because of the destination. But, like, when you look at it in front, I think it makes people go, like, kind of laugh.
It doesn't rationalize. Make sense. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it was a 3-year deal at $2 million or OC or this or that. It's just, you're going to go be the running back coach.
Like, I'm sure they could have worked an incentive into this. If Ohio State wins a national championship this year, we give you another $500,000 or something to work.
To match
another guaranteed year.
Right. Perhaps. Like it's because they did, Ohio State did counter with the second year at the 800. And so, you know, they did have the opportunity to keep expounding on that. I don't know. Weird.
Yeah. Bob, I don't think any of the Ohio State tie guys are on that short list or going to get serious consideration down the road. Maybe I'll be proved incorrect on that.
The only one that's interesting to me is Scotty Graham
Scotty Graham, because he's got the NFL tie. He was running he worked in the PA when I was in the NFL.
I thought and he was like.
He was administration.
Athletic director.
He was.
Dude, I didn't know he was coaching.
And then he started coaching with Fish.
Okay.
Is that now he's in Washington.
Okay. He went with him there.
Did a nice job with the Wildcats. And I mean, that's at least one that I think if we're handicapping this and you're saying, okay, there's DeMarco Murray here, there's Stan Drayton here. There's
Dylan McCullough.
Dylan McCullough, like
I like the McCullough deal. Where's he at now?
Notre Dame.
Okay.
The former player angle, like I think Scotty Graham for me would be the highest on that list, right? I mean, but I don't know that that's the likely outcome. And my concern with someone like Dylan McCullough is that he's just changing jobs every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. Like I don't know that Ryan. That
fits his son. His son's still playing. You got eligibility.
Sons are at Oklahoma.
But isn't
he come here? Package deal.
DeSantis at Oklahoma.
Isn't that? I don't think Ohio State wants DeSantis McCullough. But
and his younger son is at Cincinnati.
But isn't that like what's the problem of having turnover every 2 years with a position coach? Like we just part of the philosophy I think that you've started to share with me is that having long term position coaches can be a negative for a program.
Yeah, like 8 years is too long. I don't know that 2 years, like, unless
you're Doc here. Six, seven.
Too long.
Unless you're a head coach like Urban Meyer, where that's where you know that that's the case when you get there. Like, I don't think that's what Ryan Day wants. I don't think his...
It's something else you have to do. Yeah. And if you're happy with the guy and how they're performing, mm-hmm. do you think Ryan really wants to be looking for another coach this offseason?
No, but you also want people that are doing a good enough job.
That are climbing the ladder.
Continually motivated. I mean, there is obviously a part of that. We talked about this extensively in January, like the whole thing with Tony Alford, with Larry Johnson. Like, these guys have been here a long time. And so at some point, there becomes diminishing returns because the effort doesn't match up with the expectation or the prior results. And so, you know, you'd want guys that are trying to elevate themselves, but at the same time, you don't want to have to keep turning over a room every 2 years, because especially now in the transfer portal era, like, you're washing the entire room away.
Well, and I think Ryan likes to keep his coaches on a nice level, family, you know, like, I think it's an,
he's not working.
It's an awesome position. Yes, it's an awesome position for these coaches who are like, man, this is a great situation. I get to see my family at night. You know, we're going to see, I'm seeing my kids play. You know, I don't have all this.
I'm sure
they want to stay here,
You know, I'm sure you talked to Anthony about that. Yeah. Like, the difference between working for Ryan Day and working for Urban 100%. Meyer is probably quite substantial.
Yeah, I believe that to be the case. You know,
I believe that to be true.
You there's like it. An element now where it's like, okay, like, you can get it done different ways. Like, you don't have to be all in like that. The other thing too with Tony Alford leaving is, like, his son had just finished up high school here fairly in the last year. Was it last year?
No, he's a senior now. Recently. I mean, he'll graduate.
So that's, I think maybe there's timing with that as well. Like you said, USC, there were some other opportunities that were potentially out there. But, like, the fact that his son got to go to school and basically grew up here in Northwest Columbus, like, as a coach, that's a rarity. And so I think that maybe this opportunity opened then, and all right,
it's 3 hours away. It's not like Braylon's going to, he'll be heading off to Butler, and so he'll be in Indianapolis anyway. So it's not like if you do have a rare chance to stop by, I mean, sure, he'll probably figure out a way to make Indianapolis part of the recruiting area. And, you know, there's obviously little things like, but it's still Michigan.
Yeah. I get it. Believe me, all those things you said are true. Like, it's, I get it, man. So, if it's none of the guys we're kind of talking about, Scotty Graham being the most maybe notable, is it Gillespie? Is he the guy then?
That one seems to be trending the wrong direction.
Why is that?
Just because he's already received two raises this offseason.
That's a good offseason.
And he's a very tied into the South guy. I mean, he's from Mississippi, coached at Florida.
We got Judkins. He's from Mississippi, too.
It just seems like that one's not.
He doesn't want to come up.
Also,
here.
Something that you mentioned about the rare opportunity for some of these coaches to let their kids finish school. I believe that's also a factor for Gillespie. So
you'd have to pay him over $1 million to bring him up here, and I don't know that they're looking for that.
So then I think you go to that next
Ross group. Bjork.
Ross Bjork also with some Mississippi ties there. Very important. Just add that to Davison Igbinosin and Quinshon Judkins and Taiwan Malone. Just a real pipeline from Oxford up here.
Thank you.
But then you're starting to seriously consider DeMarco Murray. We mentioned that on Friday. You and I were talking. It's like, well, what's the Chip Kelly factor there? Because the first thing that you Google if you
that's
put DeMarco
so great.
Murray and
I
Chip
forgot
Kelly
that we
there,
brought that up.
Is DeMarco Murray going to the Philadelphia ownership and saying, I don't trust Chip Kelly.
I remember that.
That doesn't seem like a great starting point for a conversation, but, you know, they're adults now. They're both in the coaching profession. Maybe there's been some thawing there.
Maybe DeMarco Murray understands Chip Kelly better now since he's had to deal with the other side of it.
Yeah.
Maybe he still hates him. Who knows?
I can't answer that. But
I bet we find out this week.
One way or another, we'll probably get some sort of insight. And then Stan Drayton, you're talking about contractual implications. Like, I think there's still probably about $5 million that would be coming his way. So, this is the situation the exact same as it was for Jeff Hafley when he went to the Packers and left a head coaching job? I don't know. I can't answer that either.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The fact that, like, you talk about Stan Drayton being a possibility, if Gillespie's kind of out, I mean, the fact that DeMarco Murray, I guess I can't imagine leaving your alma mater and going and doing this. And like I said, I enjoy Demo. I think that would be a good hire. He's a guy that played in the NFL.
He's got a name recognition. I mean, kids are going to listen to him. He's going to be a recruit.
Can you?
Yeah, I mean, you can go back to your own. I mean, there's people who, for the last 3 years, have talked about Brian Hartline, said if he wants to be a head coach, he's going to have to leave Ohio State and then come.
So I guess that is true. You're right.
You're going to have to find somewhere to spread your wings a little bit. I mean, why not Ohio State if you came here for 4 years and then Venables retired at 65 or whatever hell, you know, maybe you.
I don't think Brent Venables is going to make it to retirement at Oklahoma.
He'll die first?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be fired.
He looks pretty stressed.
He gets pretty stressed on the sideline. Whatever
line.
The case, there is the opportunity to go back. It's not like, I mean, the timing would be bad, but it's not like DeMarco Murray would be leaving for Texas, right?
Yeah, it's not the rival. It's not your.
Speaking of Texas, Tashard Choice at Texas is.
If we could get T. Choice in here,
he's another guy that, like, in a high in the sky world, like, that's the guy Ohio State should be going after.
Do you need me to make a call?
Let's go.
Texas is not shy about paying their coaches, so I mean, I think it's one where the like to like salary would probably be closer. So it would really be about what Tashard Choice is about as a person and what he wants.
Gosh, I love Tashard. He's a energetic, interesting.
He's a great recruiter.
Is he really? Yeah. I could see that. He's
the best in the country.
He's a very likable guy. I always enjoyed him.
You know what else is likable, Bob?
We're talking about a running, you know what you need as a running back? You want someone that can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You want a five-tool guy, uh-huh. like the Mott stick right here, Jay-Z.
The five-tool appetizer.
The five-tool appetizer.
Yes, it is.
Because you can get, there's times you get the Mott stick, like, I'm actually good. This is my whole meal. Yeah. Like, it tastes good.
Take all of them down.
Who likes the Mott stick? Basically, everybody likes the Mott stick. And you know what? Fries. You got cheese. You're like two-thirds the way to a pizza. It's fantastic. You dip
you got the marinara sauce.
You're right there. Forget about it.
The best thing about mozzarella sticks is that, unlike other apps, if you let them get cold,
you can.
It just turns into string cheese.
Yeah.
And it's still delicious.
And it's still edible.
Yeah, that's great.
So my daughter eats hers.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So they'll be $3 Tuesday all day long at Roosters.
If you eat them on Tuesday and Wednesday, that's only $1.50 a day.
You can also load up for the entire week. Just come in and get like six baskets on Tuesday. And then you've saved money.
$18.
You don't have to buy string cheese.
$18. Yeah, string cheese is going up. I think it's like 21%.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
I think I saw 42%.
Really? Yeah. Not string cheese?
Yeah. Well,
I know.
Price of string cheese is going up. On Tuesday, the price of Mott Sticks is coming
Let's
down.
Let's go.
At Roosters. We're going to be back with a lot more talking about Ohio State in this fun, casual joint.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart, and we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Welcome back into Roosters. Berm's still here.
Hey, Berm.
That's the normal thing.
I'm still here.
Football.
Sleepy Berm.
Football is back on Tuesday. So the pads come on, Bob, and we start to learn some stuff for real. What are you looking at, forward to, intrigued by, as practice number three ramps up tomorrow?
I'm looking curious to see how this offensive line looks, because then you can actually kind of get a real sense of what they are in pads. It's tough. You know, your pass blocking and, like, the run game looks good because everything kind of looks good early on when you don't have pads on. So excited to see those things, like the elements to me, you know, the run blocking, pass blocking, and then, you know, Sonny Styles, like, dude, this, you're moving close to the ball, your reaction times, like, you, this thing, you're coming in for the real thing now. Like, this is going to be big. So I'm excited for just that first day of pads popping practice. My dad's going to come up. Maybe he is. He said he's going to practice on Tuesday. Maybe he is coming. Maybe it's
Secret interview time.
Maybe it's secret interview.
Goodness.
Oh,
it's all coming together.
Bob was trying to hide it, and Berm got right to the bottom of it.
Man. We'll see you there. He's like, we'll see you at 9. I'm like, all right, I'll be over there. So
he's already got to been there.
He's
going to
be there at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Coach's meeting. Yeah.
He's got to get the script.
Got to check out what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's always, if they just did like a guest coach of the day every week, every breakfast? Awesome.
What is this? Like when they're like the office, when they're trying to workshop some new managers?
Yeah.
Auditions for the running back.
Yes. So in this scenario, my dad's D'Angelo Vickers.
D'Angelo Vickers. Yeah. Does he juggle?
He does juggle. And he, give me that dog. Give me that dog.
Yeah.
Well, that would be entertaining. I hope we see somebody pretending to juggle out there at practice on Tuesday. Jay-Z, what's got you intrigued?
Well, I mean, Bob, I think the offensive line is the biggest question mark of the team, other than who is our starting quarterback going to be. But I think that front five is very important going into this year. So, I mean, whoever they're putting at right guard, if Fryer is going to be that tackle, how's he looking? You know, like, how has he you know, done over the year, you know, with the experience of last year, is he feeling more confident? Is he going to look better? You know, is he going to be somebody that can bring that right guard along while he's taking care of his business? And then, you know, Simmons on the other side is, you know, we've gotten rid of some of those false starts and, you know, clean things up a little bit. I think that is the most important group for spring ball and camp. I mean, for this season, I think those five need to get their act together and get on the same page. And we got to figure out who that right guard is going to be and figure out who the five are going to be and let them, you know, get after it.
Well, when they started camp, they had Carson Hinsman still out there with the quote-unquote first group. So Seth McLaughlin getting his feet under him, and I think we all assume that he's going to take that job at some point. But Carson Hinsman,
yeah, there's some question marks there for sure, and you want to get these guys, you know, time in the spring. You want your young guys to be able to do that, but you do have new guys here that you want to. I mean, you do think he's going to be the center, so or you would think so.
Is there a possibility that Ryan, you know, was maybe happy that Tony left because it gives something else to talk about outside of the quarterback competition?
I don't know if he's super excited about
4D chess there.
Yeah, no one's going to ask. No one's going to ask now about the quarterbacks tomorrow.
You know, I don't have a running back coach.
I find that unlikely.
I don't think so. I think you're going to see a rash of the black stripe removals in the next 48 hours.
Ripping them off.
The next 48 hours?
As they're walking out to practice.
Just one padded practice.
So you tell me this is going to look like an Apache war camp, just scalping dudes?
Caleb Downs, Seth McLaughlin, Will Howard. I think you'll see those guys lose their black stripe pretty quick.
How about
week.
JJ?
I don't think so.
Where does JJ come from?
I don't know. That's what they
is
call
his
him.
Middle
probably
name.
I mean, start with the J.
Schlegs calls him JJ. I call him JJ.
His name is Jeremiah.
Someone goes, why do you call him ODB and not ODB, OGB? And I'm like, Igbenus. That's what the guys call him. I don't know. Like,
I don't know why, because it's spelled with an I.
But interesting. I don't know. That's what they call him. Have you ever heard that?
My name is Jay Z, and it's Justin Zwick.
His name is spelled IGB, and I wonder if it just like people say it too quick, and then it got changed at some point. He never corrected him.
Yeah, awesome. Maybe it's IG. I don't know. Maybe I do call him IG. Whatever. But like,
you call him OGB, and I hear people call him OGB.
Zach calls him OGB.
Zach Boren calls him OGB. Like a number of people do, and I'm just like, I know who you're talking about. But I don't know why.
Davis and
Agbenosin. Original gangster, baby.
Davis and Agbenosin.
The original Agbenosin.
The most important thing this week is the quarterback play. Let's stop dancing.
Well, 100%.
Okay? Is Will Howard going to take a step up?
Are we going to see more of Will?
Denzel Burke decreed it, and now Will Howard needs to supply it. So it's a week off. It's a week to, you know, get comfortable in your skin. Say, okay, I come down from that first couple days of like the anxiety,
get the jitters
and
out of me.
Now it's time to go. So does he take a step up? Does now knowing that he's actually in a competition change the calculus a little bit? I think that's the most important thing. So we won't see it. You'll probably get a chance to, but
that is what Ryan Day does seem to be trying to deflect, because this is the longest layoff between open viewing periods and a spring practice that I can ever recall covering Ohio State. We're not going to see them again as scheduled, which is subject to change. And Ohio State has said that maybe they would be more willing to.
If you guys are good,
if you're on your best behavior, you can come in and watch. Just don't talk about the quarterbacks exclusively.
So am I going to do? I'm going to give you more material. I'm going to give you another story to
Coach
write about.
Coach leaving, yes.
There you go.
I don't want it. I want to see even
Ryan
by this
chess
point.
Master. That's right.
Generally, we've seen a full practice as well. Like, this has been.
You're going to get student appreciation, Dave.
I understand,
so
and I am going to appreciate it very much. But it is clearly about the quarterbacks in my mind that Ryan Day is going with this. No open viewing periods this week, and nothing until the student appreciation day. I hope it changes. Knock on wood, and I will be on my best behavior. But it is because people want to see Will Howard and Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz and see what's going to happen. It's pretty important, I think, Bob, for national title contenders to figure out who their quarterback is.
I think it is, but I would argue that I think all of those guys could be competent quarterbacks if the offensive line's really good.
Yep.
And so I think
good
that,
run game.
That elevates the level. Now, as a national championship, that's the question we have to figure out and how that's going to look. And, yeah, watching those guys throw the ball around, like I said, they all had some good and bad moments. I think what Ryan probably is secretly afraid of is that all of them look good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Just like at camp last year. Like, hey, we look good, we look bad. Both
hey,
at the same
great
time.
Job throwing that, you know, 15-yard comeback. Hey, by the way, you didn't see the safety come down and pick that curl off as you threw it right to him like two plays later. Yeah. So it's like dealing with, hey, awesome, Now that.
It's almost like the same thing they just went through.
Yes.
And it's like they didn't almost want to make a decision, and then they did. Kyle kind of took it, and now they're right back into the – it's seemingly right back into that same boat. Well, we'll see how Will takes off.
Yeah, we don't know because he's not had the pads on yet. So. Exactly.
It's a whole different ball game. You know, last week was jittery. I mean, his first couple practices, probably just a lot of jitters. And, well, I got to be perfect here. You know, I'm the new guy coming in. I got, you know, and that's not
going
that's
from
not
the
how
Little Apple to Ohio State is a fairly substantial.
Yeah, but when you're almost going to the NFL and then you're coming into Ohio State to be their starting quarterback, I mean, that's there's a lot there. And
the
then
house
you
that
add
Bill
the,
Snyder
yeah.
built.
Well, the house he did build it.
I wonder how many practices he was there a long they time. Had with like 70 people watching on the sideline
at the spring game. The spring game count?
I don't know if they had 70 people there for that. Lots of programs, Bob, don't actually go out to watch the spring game.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess we haven't seen a level up like this. I watched, you know, my son, my daughter had her 13th birthday, so for Saturday night, you know, we didn't leave. We had to stay there, you know, and make sure everything was good. And we watched Thomas Crown Affair with my wife. She went to bed. And then after that, the next biggest level up I think I've ever seen is we watched Boondock Saints after that.
Oh, wow.
My 8-year-old probably got
you
the first
skipped ahead
half,
a little bit.
We did because, I mean, those guys went from just dudes working on a meat packing plant to the vigilante justice providers to, like, all Somebody of Boston and then eventually the world, I think. So they went worldwide. So that was a big jump. Was, like they call, the kids call it a glow up, like Pitbull, Mr. 305 to worldwide. And that's what we're asking Will Howard to do. Can he – go from the guy who's, you know, is fighting somebody in a meatpacking plant to lighting some Russians on fire, to ripping a toilet out of the ground and jumping 5 stories down to save your brother. Like
that's
talk
shakeability.
About,
yeah.
Well, I mean, they talk about the brotherhood. That's the, you want to talk about brotherhood. You show the scene from Boondock Saints, what one brother's willing to do to save the other brother.
Okay.
Toilet on one. How are you going to stop the other guy? Myself yes. jumping down on him. Wow. And this is how we're going to do it.
So
that's all Will has to do.
Yeah. How do you?
No big deal.
How do you prove that in a spring? What's the way to show
Woody that? Hayes is probably about 5 stories tall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of toilets.
You can get a toilet up there. Take Dr. Yeah. Burks. He wouldn't care.
If you'd be willing to rip that out with the handcuffs on your wrist, thinking about how bad that hurt.
That's shankability.
And someone's like, that looks like it hurts. I'm like, what, the blood pouring from his hands? Is the metal's digging?
What gave it away?
I mean, you know, and the fact he probably maybe broke both legs in the risk of doing that. But that's, I mean, you want to see people that are all in. Yeah. The brotherhood.
You also want to see someone who can complete a 5-yard out.
That's more.
Do you need the 5-yard out if you can run Q? I would beg to differ with this.
If he's not running
with
the toilet, he's just a football.
Here he comes with the QB power.
If you can run
there we go, downhill.
If you can run the Q power on 3rd and 5 for 6 yards, that's also good.
Sure.
That time machine I talked about, we're going all the way back to 2013.
I watched JT Barrett.
With JT Barrett.
Yeah, JT Barrett.
I watched him do that.
Yeah, he won a lot of football games that way.
This team could have some similarities to the 2002 team, you know. I mean, really elite defense.
By the way, you pull up
a game that's doing the job.
You pull up the national championship box score for the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Miami Hurricanes in the Fiesta Bowl. I think Craig ran it 20 times.
Oh, yeah, I think,
for like 84 yards.
I think he was leading rusher.
That Q power that we talked about, that was prevalent.
Real deal.
That was definitely, he was definitely leading rusher. I'm not going to consider most
concussed.
Of those Q power. Those were like Q 1.6 yards a carry. But
it's okay.
Got it done.
It worked.
Got to keep him honest.
That's right.
Sounds like he averaged 4 yards a carry, Berm.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
He get a couple long scrambles that help distort the average. But most of them are 2 or 3 yards.
Okay. So there you go. That's our offense this year.
Anything
I doubt that, but it certainly is interesting that you know, you're entering week 2A of camp without having really any idea what the quarterback situation is.
Well, I mean, they had two practices.
Yeah.
Well, hey, at least they're coming into this week with no arrest or anything bad happening over spring break.
Can that be confirmed?
At least that I have heard of or know of.
I haven't looked at any of the police reports. But
let me ask you this question while we're going to go back to the start of the show, Michigan's coaching staff. If you hired an assistant coach from Wisconsin, for example, and that guy in his playing career in college had a DUI and then got one while he was in the NFL and then gets one his first weekend on campus as an assistant, would
Wait,
you
did
fire
that really
him?
Happen?
Yes.
Who was it?
Greg Scruggs from Wisconsin.
Here's a name.
Michigan's new defensive line coach.
That tells you that the guy.
How many strikes do you get?
I mean, well, he's got a pattern of behavior. You want people, coaches say they want consistency. I mean, that shows a pattern of behavior that would lead you to believe that a man has a tendency to have too many drinks, undervalue maybe where he's at on the blood alcohol level scale, and get behind the wheel of a car, which I would not advise.
I mean, it's that is an interesting spot for Sherrone Moore to be in, because now that coach is suspended. So here they are starting their – I think Michigan starts camp tomorrow.
Do you think they target Larry Johnson then?
That would make perfect sense.
That's the other
Chip Kelly.
That's the other part that makes the offered decision so strange. Like Jay-Z said it, and it seems to be true. Michigan as a program is on such
a mess,
weird, shaky footing since Jim Harbaugh.
They don't
left.
Believe that.
I don't know how can they not
see that?
You
know why? Because they're standing on a trophy.
Yeah, I mean, they don't believe it.
And you're up on the stage with the trophy in hand.
No, I think that's fine. They went all in to win a national title, and they accomplished it. And now you have to pay the tax afterwards, and they are.
Sure.
To think that they're not in complete disarray when most coaches that they're pursuing don't want to go work for Sherrone Moore, or you find somebody who immediately gets a DUI, or Mike Hart wants to.
Maybe he was celebrating. Maybe he was celebrating the job.
He's another alum in Mike Hart who's like, you know what? I'm on.
Did he go anywhere?
Is he on the list?
He's just out here.
Is he on the list for
not
us?
To my understanding, no.
Okay.
So he just left Michigan.
He had some health issues last year. If you remember, he had a seizure on the sideline of a game and missed some time. And then he was taking some personal time this offseason. But I mean, it does seem to coincide a little bit with the fact that they passed him up for not just the head coaching position that he thought he was in the running for, but also the offensive coordinator position, and then decided to take a personal leave. And in the midst of that personal leave, they apparently began reaching out to other coaches.
Things are going great up there.
Including one at Ohio State, who, ironically, that relationship probably forged in San Antonio when Ryan Day had told coaches like Tony Alford, you should probably go there and see if you can create some relationships and maybe find another job. Because Alford was at the coaches' convention looking for a job, and I wouldn't be surprised if the relationship with Sherrone Moore began there, and then, you know, percolated over.
Meet cute. There's a place in San Antonio on the Riverwalk called Mad Dogs.
Beautiful place.
Where a lot of things can potentially happen there. And do you think that's where the genesis of this was?
Probably true.
I like that. I'm going to keep that envisioned, and that's the story I'm going to tell myself.
That is Michigan's 2024 motto. Remember the Alamo.
That was our 2005 motto.
Remember not to go there again. Although San Antonio was a beautiful city, we had a great time.
Remember to never go to the Alamo Bowl again.
It was. We were practicing outside in 35-degree weather.
Coldest weather. Guy went to the hospital, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who went to the hospital?
One of the camera guys.
Camera guy.
He was up in the thing, like, froze.
Literally froze, went down.
I didn't know that Brian Kelly was on that staff then.
No, we lowered him down. We took him to the hospital. Okay. Well, they just didn't push him into the river and
say, get somebody else up there.
Put some coins on his eyes and pushed him into the river.
All right. Well.
The coaches were upset that we didn't have the back view, though, for the rest of practice. Truth.
Got to be ready for the
Alamo. He survived.
It wasn't as dire as
they put us in the heat in the Woody. It was like, trust that thing up to like 90. They're sweating us out. We go down there. We're practicing outside. It is like this.
Yes. It's
like
40
with a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
There's no indoor anywhere to go because we weren't at the Alamo.
You never knew what Les Miles was going to throw at you. You had to be prepared for anything.
That's true.
We were. You know what they did? They threw me an interception on the second play of the game.
Took care of business in that one.
Threw Justin a pulled hammy.
Yeah.
That honestly is probably one of the more important bowl games in recent history. Because
it was kind of like the inverse of the Cotton Bowl this year.
Yeah.
The game that everybody said no one cared about that we won.
It really did. I mean, you guys had a rough year in 2004. It set up the next decade, really, of success. So, you know, it mattered.
Yeah. You're welcome.
8-4. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
8-4 was a big Alamo dub over
the Alamo.
I mean, plus you beat the other OSU, and that's important because the whole argument of who's the OSU probably was.
They would still say they were better because we haven't played them since. So it's a good thing we took care of business.
Don't get a lot of opportunities to settle the OSU argument on the field. So kudos to these guys for doing that.
That was the last game Mike Gundy coached as the offensive coordinator there.
He's a man.
He's 40.
He wasn't 40 then.
He wasn't
ready for what the Buckeyes had for him. We'll see. What happens as spring practice resumes in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center tomorrow, Tuesday, and then afterwards, all day Tuesday, you can get some mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella sticks.
For just
$3
at Roosters. It's a fun casual joint. That's Jay-Z, Bob Berm. I'm Austin. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week.